Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our contention in this lesson is that it is authorized of God in the Scriptures for local congregations to cooperate with each other in the performance of some authorized given task. Furthermore, we're saying that it is permissible for one church to assist a second church in a work over which the second church has the oversight. Church A can help Church B do something that Church B has undertaken to do. Now, we assume the work Church B is undertaking is authorized as the work of the church. Nobody ought to help anybody do something that is not to be done to begin with. There is no way Church A could help Church B do something that the church is not authorized to do. Now, we're not saying that one church can surrender its autonomy to another church, or one church take charge of a second church. To illustrate, we are saying that Church A can help Church B conduct a gospel meeting, conduct a television program, print and distribute tracts, assist in building a meeting house, pay the preacher, and such things as that. We are not saying that Church A must do this. We're speaking of something that is permissible, not mandatory. If a church chooses not to support some program of work that others undertake, that church has the right and the privilege and ought not be chastised for choosing to do something else. This insistence that one may prove loyalty by supporting this or supporting that has caused about as many problems in the church as making laws that demand churches refrain from helping each other. Let us illustrate with a television question and answer program. What is the program anyway? Why, it's a means of teaching the gospel. Surely nobody objects to churches teaching the gospel. Who oversees the program? Well, let's say that Church B has the oversight under the direction of its elders. Is the use of television an acceptable means of teaching? Well, this is a matter of judgment. Most often the answer is affirmative. But it is only one way. It's not the only way. But nobody questions this to our knowledge. And how is the program financed? It is paid for from the treasury of the church that oversees it, Church B. How does Church B get money into its treasury? It comes from the contribution of its members, and it comes from contributions from assisting churches. Now, that is the entire matter briefly stated. And the only point of contention is whether other churches have a right to contribute funds into the treasury of Church B. Did churches in the New Testament contribute to the work of other churches? Why, when you read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, the answer is certainly yes. Macedonian churches sent help for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And who took the money over there? Paul and his company. We learn elsewhere to whom they gave the money. In Acts chapter 11, 27 through 30, it shows how the church in Antioch also helped to relieve Jerusalem. Brethren there sent relief funds by Barnabas and Paul, who gave them to the elders in Jerusalem, Acts 12 and verse 25. Well, what do you have? You have many churches giving funds into the hands of the elders of Jerusalem for the work of relieving the physical needs among those in the city. Some who are against this kind of cooperation will argue that it's all right to do this in benevolent work, but not in evangelistic work. Friend, that's plain silly and nonsensical. Who would contend that churches can send money for physical bread, but are prohibited from sending money to teach the bread of life? That is an absurdity. That's legalism gone to seed. But let us accommodate such foolishness just for a moment and remove even that objection. In Acts 15, verses 22 through 32, it shows how the Jerusalem church, under its elders, sent men and letters of teaching to assist the church in Antioch in teaching. Here is one church helping another church in a matter of evangelism. Surely nobody would be so absurd as to contend one church can send men and materials, but could not send money to secure men and materials. Whether men, money, or materials, one church is helping another church in evangelistic matters. And neither church usurps the autonomy of the other. Both remain independent local churches. Autonomy did not prohibit their fellowship in these matters, but they still cooperated. Now, some have contended that it is wrong for a church to assume any work that was larger than it could do by itself. Will you tell it to Paul, the inspired apostle? He took money to Jerusalem for a work that was bigger than Jerusalem could handle alone. To preach to the whole world is bigger than any one church can do alone. Shall none try? Some say it's wrong for a smaller and poorer church to help a larger and richer church. Well, where does the Bible teach that? The Macedonian churches were in deep poverty when they gave. Did Paul run a financial audit on both congregations and all its members before he took funds to Jerusalem? Not everybody in Jerusalem was in poverty, even though some were. Well, some say it's wrong for one church to spend the money of another church. Well, we have not contended that such be done. Church B, that oversees the program and pays the bills, spends its own money. When Church A gives Church B certain funds, they are no longer the funds of Church A, but belong to Church B. Nobody is spending anybody else's money. Well, someone says you ought to give it up for unity's sake. Friend, the truth of the matter is that those who have made laws ought to give up their human legalistic laws for the sake of unity. If the church never acted or operated until there was nobody to raise any objection, the church would likely never do anything. Churches would not even conduct Sunday evening and Wednesday evening services. Some folks never support them. Some even object to being asked to do so. Shall we reduce our work to only that which the biggest objector approves? But Church B becomes a brotherhood missionary society, they say. Not so. Church B is a scripturally organized governmental unit, a single local church, just as the Bible teaches. There is no human governmental system created when churches cooperate in this fashion. And again, we stress, this is something churches are permitted to do. It's not mandatory that they cooperate in this way, but they have the right. And there ought not ever be any stress or division or hostility among brethren over such matters. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.